Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business of Music podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about owning and growing a music business. My name is Elliot Towsley, and my business partner James Landry and I are your hosts. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on our next podcast. And to learn even more, subscribe to our YouTube channel and sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Business of Music podcast.
All right, James, well, you know what? I'm putting you on the spot. You got to start it off here today. Because I've said, I'm not saying how I started, because then it would start the same way as the last.
You did the same thing every time.
Every time.
Yeah, usually we start by you saying, hey, this is Elliot. I'm with my partner, James Landry. James, how you doing today? And then it's just the same thing over and over. Yeah. So let's not do that. Oh, hey, my name's James Landry. I'm with my business partner, Elliot. Elliot, how are you doing today?
I'll give you as much as you give me usually. Fine.
Oh, that's great. Let me talk for 20 minutes now about anything in my life while I'm petting Chester. All right.
He's chewing on the new chair I got. So
stop smart.
It. I got a new desk. I got a new chair all for the podcast. Now it's official. Now we got ads. We got a lady who says, DeNovo Agency. This is an official podcast now. I mean, we're one step away from signing a big, big deal with Spotify, I think.
There's a few bigger, yeah, big ones out there. Us fans also like Joe Rogan.
That's right. We're like equal.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not in California, so we're not smoking weed the whole time.
Not the whole time, but a lot of it.
All right, let's get to
before
it.
Before and after.
Poor Jasmine.
Oh, this is staying in. Everybody, what's going on? I like it. Bring a little personality to the show.
We've got, today is Friday. Friday is New Music Day. Did you see any new songs come out? I saw one. Have you seen anything yet? Have you listened to music today?
No, actually.
You haven't? Freddie Gibbs. You know Freddie Gibbs?
Doesn't he have a show on Barstool now?
He might. Freddie Gibbs signed in June, I think, and he hadn't released any music yet. He released today with Big Sean, featuring Big Sean and Hit-Boy.
Oh, nice.
Four things. That came out today. Other than that, I know a lot of our artists we worked with wanted to release Halloween music for some reason. It wasn't music, like themed Halloween. They just wanted a Halloween release.
Yeah.
What is their thought behind that? Any clue?
If you don't have a big enough following to do some sort of themed release like that, like, then it's just such a short-lived what? So it's going to be relevant for 3 days and you're going to market the hell out of it to who? A Halloween song? It's already the 30th. You know, it's one thing. If Drake put out a Halloween song today, it would probably be huge tonight and tomorrow. But not some independent artist putting some song out that happens to be a Halloween song. I mean, if you wanted to really, really do it right, if you have a big Halloween song, you put it out October 1st and market the hell out of it for a month. Not the day before Halloween. You don't have a big enough fan base for anyone to give a shit.
I also argue that no one gives a shit anyway. I don't even think if Drake released a Halloween song, the majority of people are like, yeah, fuck yeah, I love Halloween.
Oh, right. They might be like, oh, it's Halloween. He put out a new song. Let me check it out. And like, okay, yeah. Cool. And
not because it's Halloween. It's more because it's Drake. I don't see Halloween being a time like, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm not, especially this year. There's no parties. There's nothing going on.
No trick-or-treating. No Halloween to be had.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say almost I would encourage, if you're thinking about releasing music, you want to release music around a time where people are traveling because they're listening to music while they travel. Halloween's not one of those times where you're not going to go travel 2 hours to see your family to go trick-or-treating. It's just not. Especially not this year, but like Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's almost a different time. You can release like nostalgic like music, like get them thinking about going home, like stuff like that, and traveling where they can listen to it on the plane or a car ride. But Halloween, I just never, I No one asked for our opinion either of this. I think like six or seven artists released music and no one was like, Halloween. Hey, what do you guys think? There's like, no, we have to. Like,
it's Halloween.
I've been telling everyone.
Yeah, we hear that frequently. Of that kind of leads, like this was, we had a client, this was a great example. So we had a client who was adamant about putting out a song to like tomorrow. And then something happened with his distributor or something. And like the, or he uploaded like the mixed version, not the mastered version or something like that. And he was like, well, what do I do? Do I pull the release? I've already been telling everybody that I have a song coming out tomorrow. And you don't have a big enough fan base for it to matter. How many people were really waiting? Oh, I got to hear that new song. And then the thing is, play the long game. If the song, oh, you know what? It's the wrong file. It's like, oh, it's not going to be as good as it could have been. And one of the parts of his particular instance was he uploaded it into his distributor like 5 days ago. Spotify recommends that you give them at least 2 weeks of notice when a song is out, meaning if you want to put out a new song, it should be coming out at least 2 weeks after the day you upload it to your distributor, or else it's unlikely that it knows or it will have enough time to review where your song might belong for editorial playlists or even release radar. So he had one where he didn't give Spotify the runway that it requires to like know where to put your song. Two, it was the wrong file. And three, like, he has a modest fan base. Sure, no, he has an audience. Or if you have an audience, whoever's listening, like, the thing, you play the long game. If you were marketing this for 6 months and everyone that listened to you knew that you were supposed to be dropping an album today, but actually, you know what? I'm going to backtrack because it's music. This happens all the time. How often are you waiting for, oh, you know, Jay-Z said he's going to be putting out a new song this week. And then, oh, or this happens with Kanye all the time. If music gets delayed, it's fine. It's part of the industry. So it's not a big deal. And it's way better to have the long game. It's way more beneficial for your music business to have the song be the highest quality it could be. But the little things, if Spotify says, hey, we need 2 weeks to know where to put your song on Discover Weekly, or and release radar and editorial playlist, why are you only giving it 5 days? There's no rush. Especially for Halloween.
If people were waiting to listen to it, they're not just going to go, oh, it didn't come out, I'm done, I'm not giving it a chance. I don't care anymore. Yeah. Right. Because they're still going to listen. If they actually cared before the song came out, they're at least, if they were going to give it a chance, they still will. Those aren't the passive listeners that you're trying to get. Passive listeners are much more important. Those people who aren't going to take that step. So it won't matter how long you marketed it for the release. And if it's not going to get on release radar, Discover Weekly, a lot of people just won't give it a chance ever.
Find it to give it a chance.
Yeah, they won't go looking for it. It needs to be put in front of them. So it's almost like Big Sean, his album was rumored for like, what, a year and a half? It just kept, never came out. It was like, oh, nope. Another one. Nope. It finally came out. I would argue that no one did not give it a chance because it didn't come out a year and a half ago. If they wanted it a year and a half ago, they'd still want it the day it came out. And that's kind of, if you're an artist who runs into a delay or you realize the mix isn't correct or the album artwork's somehow your name got spelled wrong, or you're rushing, you need it, a Halloween release. Right. Don't. Because if you're not going to get Spotify, at least it's time it needs. And that also likely means that it wasn't going to hit every platform on the same day anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're telling people, but even if Spotify somehow got it out on time, doesn't mean Apple Music's going to. It doesn't mean Pandora or any place else is going to have that song. You're much better off waiting. And we talked about pre-save campaigns before because of this, because it doesn't matter how long you promote something before it comes out, ultimately, if no one is going to go out of their way to listen to it. So if you wait, at least when people do go out of their way, they will find it either way. If they want to find it, they will. It doesn't matter if it comes out tomorrow, next month, next year, as long as it eventually comes out and you give them something to listen to.
Right. And I just want to like keep in mind, like we know our audience is independent artists. So like, Sure, Eminem could have the most successful pre-save campaign of all time. Eminem could change it up and put a Halloween song out tonight, and it would probably be huge if he did. But people with those types of resources are in totally different boats. Like, that's why, like, a pre-save campaign for an independent artist is most likely going to be ineffective. It's much more effective to have Spotify on your side and to get after those passive listeners. Because even if you say, even if you have a modest following on Instagram and you promoted a post for 2 weeks, like, saying, I'm going to have a song out on Halloween. Like, the thing is, most of those people aren't waiting for it. It's going to be like, if that ad caught their eye and then, like, they happen to see you post when the song is out, like, oh yeah, I remember seeing this. Oh, I'll click. No one marked it on their calendar. Oh, that artist that I kind of listen to every once in a while or kind of recognize is coming out with a new song. I got to fucking mark it down. I'm like, nobody's doing that. So, like, it's good to be, I get the idea, but, like, in the long run, it's much better to have the file be right, to have Spotify and Apple Music be on your side, than it is for the 800 people who are listening or following you to, maybe they were expecting a song today. Well, you know what? That's 800. Who cares? There's 350 million people in the United States-ish. And you can't be worried about the small bucket. You got to worry about the casual listeners, the people who haven't found you yet. How do you get their attention? And I guarantee you, you're not going to get their attention with a mix that's 75% of the way there and without being on release radar. Like, how they're just going to type in your name and find you? No.
I think something that I just thought of, people, independent artists or smaller artists who are starting, don't think about is listening habits. I personally will listen to liked music first. I will always listen to what I know or what I want to listen to. And when I get tired of that, that's when you start looking for new music. Release radar is not because you got tired. It's because they know you. They know me. I'm going to listen to it. But Monday through Thursday, I'm going to listen to whatever I have saved or Rap Caviar or today's top hits. And unless I'm tired of those, I'm not going to other playlists to look for new music. I'm not going to find new music every day. I'm not going to listen to a new music playlist every day because I'm going to listen to it and probably save what I like and move on. And when it's updated, I'll check it out again. But artists seem to forget that people are not looking for new music every day. They're not going out of their way most of the time to look for new music. And streams and listeners are going to fluctuate because of that. There are people who listen to a playlist that they like. Like, every once in a while, I'll listen to, like, Hot Rhythmic playlist that Spotify creates. But again, that updates on Mondays. So by Wednesday, that's old. So by Wednesday, I'm looking for something else. I'll go to another playlist. Everyone's different, but in general, just because you released a song doesn't mean anyone's going to give it a chance unless it hits Release Radar or Discover Weekly until they're bored of other music. So you can release your best song ever on a Friday, but if it doesn't hit anything because you didn't give it time and it's just sitting there, even if people have listened to you before, they're not going to go listen to your new song until they're bored of everything else that's been put in front of them.
Right. Or until you can entice them to check it out via promotion or word of mouth or something. But I think a lot of people, you're right, a lot of musicians don't consider their own listening habits and then, like, consider that you're an avid musician who's looking for music, who's looking for inspiration. Most people are casual listeners who listen to the music that they already have or that finds them, aka songs on at the gym, on the radio, at the restaurant, their friends send them a music video. Like, they're not digging through, ooh, let's find some obscure blog to find, like, the next upcoming artist. That's not what most people do. So artists lose track, and I've fell victim to this back in the day, like, because I wasn't thinking about it. And, like, I thought that, like, I didn't consider my own habits and how I find new music. If I even find new music, now that I'm getting older, I'm pretty much caught stuck in who I like. Like, it's kind of hard for me to find someone new that I'm like, oh, I really fuck with this guy. especially when they're like 10 years younger than me now. But I think even when some artists consider their own listening habits, they think that their music is the exception to the rule. And it's hard to realize that you're not. Like big artists have a hard time of getting their music known. Who's a big famous artist? Tyga? Sure. What's the last Tyga song he put out?
I couldn't tell.
No fucking idea. And he's big and famous, and I know like a lot of his songs. I'd have to look it up. I don't know. So artists who think that, well, you know, I'm different. My song is better than anybody else's. Sure, but no one's listening to it to know. And Spotify doesn't listen. People. Yeah, and I think a lot of people miss. They think that, again, we've talked about this, but I think artists think that there is like a team of people at Spotify sitting in a huge-ass cubicle or something with 100 people all listening to the songs every day that come in. And then they say, wow, this guy's fucking great, and they put him somewhere. And like they think that, well, the song, the music is the music. It should speak for itself. And Spotify doesn't adhere to that. They base it on data. There is nobody listening to your song. There is no computer analyzing, oh, this sounds just like Kid Cudi. That's not how the algorithm works. It's based on who's listening. And if you can't create people to listen in the first place, then it'll never spread based on the sound of the song, because that's not how it works.
Well, even back to the Tiger example, artists also think like, oh, I just need them to listen to.
Who?
Tyga. Who'd you say?
I thought you said Tiger.
No, you know, Tiger.
So backer, he's on the back nine, swinging from a par four back to Tiger. Here he is.
I
sounded like a middle-aged dad. Now listen here, Sally. I've had enough of you listening to Tiger. He's inappropriate for girls your age. No more Tiger in this house.
Well then, okay. So I've probably heard his most recent release, but I didn't save it. I didn't care. I didn't listen to it twice. And independent artists often seem to think like, oh, they listened to it. Why didn't they save it? Why didn't they follow me? I could care less. I heard it. I don't like it. Cool. Next. Maybe I listened for 32 seconds. It counted as a stream. Maybe it didn't even count as a stream.
You liked it. Maybe, hey, this was pretty cool, but it didn't find you again, perhaps.
It's gone.
You didn't like it enough to dig for it. Right.
I heard it once and I didn't listen twice. I didn't, and then next thing you know, it was too far down the playlist. Maybe it was top on Rap Caviar for a day and then it was gone. It just kind of fell off. And once it fell off, I was done with it. You have to think about that. Those are factors that lead to your streaming numbers, your listener number, the streaming number, the save number, the follower number. I don't follow anyone. I save some music. I listen to a lot of music, but I'm not saving everything I listen to. I don't care. It has to be different. Or I have to come back to something I heard a while back and go, oh, I forgot about this song. Save, because I'll lose it if I don't. Now, I did like it enough. I should save it. I didn't realize there was going to be a one and done thing.
Yep. I think that's kind of, that definitely goes along with artists not analyzing their own listening habits and overestimating to which degree they're the exception to the rule, because the answer is zero. And but you're right, a lot of artists, exactly, they, well, somebody listened to my song, how come the save, like, okay, 1,000 people listened to my song, I only got, you know, 50 saves. Like, yeah. And a lot of artists think, well, shouldn't 900 people have saved the song because 1,000 people checked it out? And I'm like, well, that you're a, when you're an independent artist, when people hear you, it is likely for the very first time ever. They have no expectations from you. They have no familiarity to you. Even if they hear the song once and they like it, they're not a fan of you. They don't know you. How many songs do you know the tune or the words to that you don't know the name of the person who made it? Tons. And it's just like, even if your song is great, people do not become a fan of a song after liking it once. And people don't save it immediately to their phone after hearing a song once or twice from a new person that they've never heard of. Especially they're in a playlist looking for new music. They're surrounded by 50 other artists who are also new to them. So it is hard to get a save. And we see a lot of people, because they come from fake campaigns in the first place, like, oh, I got 2,000 listeners. I got 1,800 saves. What's going on? I'm like, yeah, but if you check, you also got 2,100 total streams. So all those 1,800 saves, never listen to it again because that's fake. People don't just save. How many songs do you think people are saving every day? It's not 200. It's probably 3.
And they don't listen once and save it. How many times does it take you personally to listen to a song before you save it? Before you hear it and you go, oh, I like this. I want to hear this forever. I want it on my phone. I want it coming up forever randomly. It takes a lot, unless you're Eminem, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole.
So yeah, and I'll tie it back to this. So a lot of times people say, okay, I've got 5,000 monthly listeners. I'm starting up. I've got a little bit of a following. So when I put out a song and it gets its first 1,000 streams, I got 450 saves. How come that ratio didn't continue? Well, because when you are releasing a new song to an audience at the very beginning that you already have, that already knows you, is already familiar, you've already broken down their wall for them to get aware of you. When you release that initial first day or week, when you're releasing it to that first wave of the audience you already have, of course the saves are going to be more likely and they're going to check out more songs because they already know you. They already know what to expect. They're already somewhat of a fan. And that ratio never continues when you get out of that loop or group who already know you and get into the next wave. It's much, much different because those people don't know you. Maybe they're friends of a friend who know you, and then they're more likely to check it out because their friend might have told you about them. But if it's some person somewhere else that doesn't have any idea who you are and they find an ad or hear your song in a playlist, it's very unlikely that they hear it one time, save it immediately, and become a fan and go follow you on Instagram and buy a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'll take a break.
Yeah, that's a good place to leave it. We'll come right back after this.
The Business of Music Podcast, presented by DeNoval Agency. DeNovalAgency.com.
If you are an independent recording artist, we know that you're fed up with unnecessary fees and giving away your royalties to a music distributor. Songflower introduces lifetime distribution, the most artist-friendly way to release music. It's just $10 for a single, $20 for an EP, and $30 for an album to have Songflower distribute your music for life to all of the streaming platforms that you need to be on. Songflower never charges you any upgrades or hidden fees, and they will never take one penny of your royalties. Check out songflower.com to see why lifetime distribution is the right move for you and your music business.
The Business of Music Podcast.
All right, Elliot, here's a question for you. Used correctly, what is a blog good for an artist?
There's like a front end and a back end. I'll start with the easy one. The easier one to see is the front end. Because obviously, all right, so it depends on which blog you're on. And really, blogs are like billboards. You're going to get some audience from the blogs, sure, but they're or the way that you make them most effective, I think, is when you take like the blog and market it yourself. Because you telling people, hey, check out my song, it's really good, nobody gives a shit. But some other website that is legit saying that your new song is good, people give a shit. It's like a testimonial for a business. If you're looking into a product and somebody else says it's amazing, you're gonna be like, okay, there's validity. The blogs are best used for when you can get an array of them and use as marketing material to create validity for yourself. And of course, you're going to get some traction from the blog itself, but it's really meant for you to say, look at what these companies are saying about me. And it creates validity and it gets way more engagement from your followers who otherwise may not be that interested, or you saying, hey, my new song's out. My new album's been out for 2 months. My new album's out. Have you checked it out yet? If now all of a sudden, if other websites are talking about you, those people might be like, huh, wow. I guess a lot of people have been checking this out. Maybe I should now, finally.
I think you can use blogs the same way you can use the Spotify monthly updates. Spotify will email artists and say, hey, you've had 181,000 listeners this past month. That's up 20%. Great job. A screenshot of that running an ad on that is very beneficial, because what you're doing is telling other people they're missing out on something. All these other people are listening to you. You should too. That's going to work better most of the time than running a music video for an ad on Instagram, because I'm not on Instagram looking for music videos. Like I'm not even on it with sound. So just, I'm not going to hear your song. And ultimately I don't care about your song because nothing has stopped me to care. But putting a picture of 181,000 listeners, I'm going to go, oh, who's this? Have I not heard this person? And a blog can be used like that, because if you have a blog, doesn't matter who it is, it could be elliotsblog.com writing about with you, and it says the hot new artist that you're missing, and it has the artist's name, and you take a screenshot of that and share that as an ad, I'm more likely to stop. And most people are, because they're going to go, who am I missing? Who's this? Why? Someone's writing about an artist that I have not heard of. I should see what it's about. Mm-hmm. That goes much further. Obviously, the dream would be to be on like Pitchfork, but that's not going to happen. It's just not, as an independent artist.
Until
you guys set the foundation. Mm-hmm. And the foundation is getting on Elliot's blog, getting people to click on your ad and start to generate that traffic. You can't, I'm sure you could, none of you can afford to pay to get on Pitchfork.
Most likely not.
Yeah, I'm sure someone could, but Pitchfork has a reputation to uphold, and they will uphold that reputation unless you're pretty much probably paying their cost for a year. They're going to make sure that you're not paying to get on there. They're using their connections. I'm sure they're getting paid for certain blogs, but that's from the labels. That's not from an independent artist who has no leverage or nothing to offer Pitchfork. And really, if you hired a publicist or a PR person, the first thing you're going to do is get you on a bunch of these smaller blogs, get the SEO traffic generated, make it so when someone Googles your name, you show up. Because without that, you're never going to get verified on Instagram. You're never going to get a little box that shows up on Google and says who you are and you're a musician. You're not going to be recognizable. You're not going to stand out from other people who have the same name as you, because there's nothing there separating you all. So the back end that Elliot kind of started to talk about and then went to the front end is the back end is the SEO, the blogs, and getting Google to understand who you are. Because ultimately, Spotify is running the back end as well and looking into you to see who are you? Who are you being compared to? What are they saying about your music? Do people care? Are you showing up on Google? Do you have traffic? Are people coming to your profile from other places other than paid ads? Are they clicking on your artist profile because you were featured on Elliot's blog and there's a link there bringing you to Spotify? If so, they flag that. They like that because it tells them people are interested in you outside of paid media. Paid media being Facebook, Instagram ads. They want to see traffic coming from every place. No artist is going to be 100% successful if all of their traffic is just from playlists.
Or if all of their traffic is paid for.
Yeah.
Like you need to create the traffic initially to get Spotify that data for it to know, oh, 22-year-olds seem to like this person from these cities. You need to get, and there's no way to, if you don't have a fan base to create this information, then you need advertisements to get listeners to create that information. And like James was saying, Spotify really likes it when listeners are coming from multiple places. It knows if, say, like if you're running a Facebook ad onto your website, like your website will tell you this visitor came from Facebook, this visitor came from Instagram, this visitor came from a Google search. Spotify knows that too. So Spotify really likes it if your profile, which is essentially like a landing page for a website, if Spotify sees that your landing page is getting people from a bunch of different platforms. Oh, so a bunch of people from YouTube came and checked you out after they were watching YouTube. A bunch of people from Facebook came, whether it's from an ad or whatever. People from Instagram, people from Google searching you or searching best new R&B song or whatever. Spotify likes that because Spotify is competing for your attention with these other platforms. So if Spotify sees that, wow, a bunch of people are leaving YouTube to come check this person out, I bet then maybe if we showed this to other listeners, they might stay on our platform a little bit longer and not go to YouTube. They're all competing for your attention and they're all very good at it. So that's how all of these algorithms work. They all, on a macro level, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Music, all of the algorithms on some level are doing the same thing. They're trying to figure out which content is a value add to which user. And if Spotify, based on all of the things they use to determine what their value add is, if they can determine that, hey, a lot of people are coming from a lot of different places are checking this person out. And you know what? The listener kind of looks like a guy in their 20s from the East Coast, it seems. And a lot of them listen to Big Sean. Maybe we should show this music to people that are kind of in their 20s and guys who like Big Sean, because it looks like there's a big value add here. And on a macro level, that's how it all works. And getting it to do these things is the hard part. But understanding how the system works and how they do not listen to your song, it is based on all of this data being crunched by Spotify every second of every day from every single user they have to figure out which content is a value add to which user and spreading that value.
You did a good job there. I have nothing else to add.
Boom. That was a good, good question. I think we even got a good close-up of Chester eating his lunch in there. So
nice.
A little crunchy crunch in there. I might be able to edit it out, but if not.
That's what that was.
That's what it was. It was not my bones crunching. I think I'm still good.
Well, you are coming. We're going to be in the same room next week.
That's right.
Together. So if you have a phone call with us next week, we'll be literally next to each other for the first time in...
Since June?
Was it June?
Yeah.
Yeah, June. First time since June we'll be together. And we'll end up doing a podcast together, sitting at different ends of a table talking.
What? What did you say from the... What? Turn your microphone up. I can't hear you all the way from that end of the table.
So that will be good. Do you have anything else today before we leave?
Well, I know we talked about briefly about how Spotify and some of their employees were like mad about Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to censor past episodes. Spotify kind of came out and put their foot down and kind of said too fucking bad to their to like the world and to their employees. Because Joe Rogan just had Alex Jones on, and I haven't seen the episode, but for those who don't know, Alex Jones is like this nut job, like right-wing conspiracy theorist guy, and he talks like this. He's like, liberal Democrats are out there barbecuing babies in their backyard, and Jed Zoros is out there putting barbecue sauce on babies, and he's eating them all up there with Tom Hanks and the rest of the Hollywood elite. And he's just fucking crazy. And, but I mean, like an entertaining podcast guest on some level. So I get, and Joe Rogan's really good at talking to people like that he might not necessarily agree with and just kind of like poking holes in like the ridiculousness, but also being like, oh, okay, I guess, you know, that's a good point too. And anyway, so he he in particular, Alex Jones, was kind of part of the group of guests that the Spotify employees were upset about. And Spotify came out and said, nope, too bad. We're not censoring guests. That's not what this is about. Like, we're making too much money. Goodbye.
So let me touch on why Spotify likes podcasts so much over music. Spotify has never been a profitable business, ever. They've never made money in a year. And so the fact that they're paying out so little doesn't change anything. If they paid out a penny, they would go out of business per stream. So Spotify likes podcasts because they don't pay per stream. They don't have to. And if music is used in a podcast, Spotify doesn't have to pay for that. The actual person using music in the podcast has to go get a license for it. So it saves Spotify money by people streaming podcasts. If they're paying to listen to podcasts, Spotify is saving money every time they don't stream a song. Podcasts are largely the way that Spotify sees itself being a profitable business finally. I think last time I knew, they're like $2.5 billion in the red because they cannot afford to do this. And it's not no different for Apple Music or anyone else paying out more. This is why Tidal is having such a money flow issue. They don't have money. Spotify doesn't have money. So the reason podcasts are great for Spotify and the reason Spotify is letting Joe Rogan do whatever the hell he wants is because every minute someone listens to Joe Rogan, Spotify saved money. It was cheaper to pay Joe Rogan whatever they paid him than let people listen to music for the amount of time he is speaking. So what they did is they estimate how many people listen to him, how long his episode is, how many minutes of streaming that would be, and how much that would normally cost them. And then they paid Joe Rogan probably half. Joe Rogan's like, yeah, sweet. Just okay. So they're not going to censor anyone because ultimately it's going to keep you listening to him. He's going to go, oh, why did they want to censor this guy? And you're not going to be listening to the new Drake song.
Yeah. Like if the show was so egregious, you wouldn't sign it up in the first place. The issue here is like, if somebody bought our podcast and didn't like one of our guests, like too bad, we already made the episode. What do you want? Like that was the first thing. Like they want to censor past episodes. Like they're already on the internet. What do you mean? Like go find it.
Yeah.
But then it kind of was like, well, is Spotify going to start telling Joe Rogan who he can and cannot have on the show? And Joe Rogan was like, no, I'm having Alex Jones. And Spotify said, he's having Alex Jones.
And sorry. It's because in all reality, Spotify is making money off this. If they want,
big time.
If it costs them money.
And we're sitting here talking about it. Free marketing. Yep. This has been going on for months.
Yep.
Is Joe Rogan actually going to be happy at Spotify? Is Spotify going to censor Joe Rogan? Look at all of us. We've talked about this two or three times, and we're just a small little podcast. Imagine all the big ones talking about this. It's a bunch of free advertising.
Yeah, ultimately what Spotify is doing is pushing people towards podcasts. They want people on podcasts because it doesn't cost them money to pay the license to stream a song. And until Spotify is profitable, they're trying to become a music place too, and they're going to do some monetization. I mean, a video place like YouTube, and I could see them doing a monetization like YouTube does, purely because if they don't put a cap on it, meaning you need so many listeners, so many views, Spotify won't make money off of it. And at this point, they're expanding because they're becoming the number one streaming platform for everything. They're trying to, but they need to make money at the same time. This is all being funded by big companies and deals like UMG has with Spotify. I don't know if we've talked about that, but like UMG doesn't get paid out per stream anymore. They just get paid out flat rate, and it saves Spotify money. It makes UMG's job a lot easier because they just pay their clients as streams come in, and it saves everyone money. Except for the artists, yeah. Everything is a business is what ultimately why this is happening. It is a business. The podcast is a business with Joe Rogan. Like Spotify probably loved the drama. I wouldn't be surprised if they made up the drama that they wanted to censor him.
Or they didn't. They certainly didn't come right out and put a stop to it, did they?
No, they let it drag on. And this is just another opportunity to remind everyone that it's a business. Music is a business. And for years, the music industry is making money off of everyone. They do everything they can to make money off of you, off of the labels, off of
your data.
yeah, off of who you're listening to, what you're listening to. It's like Facebook. Facebook makes money off of ads. You don't pay to use Facebook for that reason. Spotify. Right,
because they're selling you.
Yeah, exactly. They're selling you. Spotify, when it first started, I don't know if you had Spotify back in, I was in college. Freshman?
Oh, back when I was in college.
So when Spotify first came to the US from Europe, you didn't have to pay to stream whatever you wanted. You can pay whoever you want and just listen to it.
They wanted a free audience, and then they said, okay, yep, now it's $5 a month.
And then eventually you had to pay monthly. And I think they were going with the Facebook strategy of just get people on. People pay for ads. And then they started to add ads, and then they're like, okay, if you don't want ads, you can pay. And they've evolved to where they are. I wouldn't be surprised if Spotify eventually goes to the LinkedIn model, which is you pay to be on as an artist. Right now you're paying a distributor to get on, but you can pay more to be more places.
Yeah.
And that gets rid
Spotify
of
Spotify Gold artist or some shit.
Yeah, that gets rid of third parties, and Spotify can make more money. Almost like LinkedIn, you can pay more to show up to the top of the job search. If you're applying to a job, you can pay an extra $40 a month and you'll be one of the top two people who apply for the job to show up. Spotify may end up doing that, but again, it would only be a select group. They're kind of doing it now with labels. Eventually, yep, it's a money-making opportunity to do it for independent artists. So I wouldn't be surprised if it eventually gets there. But again, they're a business and they're only going to do it if it makes sense to them.
Yep. Or say, like, if your name is Mike Smith and you want to be the first, mm-hmm, or in the first 10 Mike Smiths that come up on Spotify, you can pay.
Yep. Yeah, I could definitely see that. And
now I wonder if there's going to be, if Spotify gets involved with some sort of third party in a similar relationship that they have with distributors, where like they're kind of involved, but not really. They kind of let some other entity do that, like do the upselling and do the all that kind of stuff.
They kind of do it with Genius right now. Genius Lyrics. They let them deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they have a specific platform you need to use if you want to list your tour dates.
Yeah. Yep. So, but this would be an easy way for Spotify to make more money. I could see it right in Spotify for Artists. Almost like, hey,
are you this John song, Davis?
Yeah. 15,000 people have the same title of this song. Do you want to show up in the first 15 results? Pay today before spots are gone. An extra.
I wonder if they do that. Increase the amount of people on Release Radar for $50, or it'd be more than that. But like,
yeah, the playlisting and location, that's when you have to start debating on labels. How many do they have? How many could they sell? But right, your point of like search results is probably even more realistic in the near future. Right. You have the name of the song, Life is Good. You want to show up underneath Joe Walsh? Pay us.
Or Drake in future.
Or Drake, yeah.
Right. Like, right.
The more you pay us, the higher we can get you. Mm-hmm. Or Google ad style, the more you pay us, we'll show you up top. But once you reach a certain number of clicks,
yep, poof,
monthly budget.
Oh, I don't doubt that that's going to happen. We're going to come back to this in like 2 years and be like, look, I told you.
Yeah, Gary Google ad style on Spotify. Because right now, if you think about it, no one uses Spotify ads if you're an artist because it's only targeting free users.
Well, people do it, but it's not effective. You shouldn't.
Okay, how's this one? You shouldn't be using Spotify ads if you're running ads on Spotify for a song because they can't listen to whatever they want because they're a free user. So how does Spotify monetize the artists who need to reach new people? And that would be a way. It'd be running like Google ads, search result ads.
Or something like, well, I guess I don't even know. Yeah, search results would be the easiest one.
Search result ads they've also tested on the homepage on Spotify, like a pop-up. This guy released a new album, but that's really a label thing. So search results would be something they could probably offer to everyone. You bid for spots. Oh, the bidding would get crazy if you think about it. Like,
right, and then independent artists would be screwed because labels would just do it. Interesting. Huh.
Yep. Well, there's our thought for the day. There's my thought for the day.
It's a good one. Well, that's a good spot to leave it, I think. Hey, if you guys want to learn more, definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel and send us questions so we can answer them on the podcast. Eventually, we're going to figure out how we can take live phone calls. And that is going to be fun, hopefully. If not, it'll be ridiculous and that'll be even better. So shoot us an email at contact@denovoagency.com with your questions, and we can answer them on one of our podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out the new blog, blog.denovoagency.com. It's a lot better. A lot more free content on there. And yeah, until next time.
The Business of Music Podcast, presented by DeNovo Agency. DeNovoAgency.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Business of Music Podcast. We love to hear feedback. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to learn even more, and check out denovoagency.com to see how we can help you grow your music business. Until next time, this has been the Business of Music Podcast.